brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
I was probably more worried about that than I've been about officiating in a long time. I really was. It was a lot.
The pressure and everybody watching, especially after 2022. Hey everyone, welcome to the Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Gooden. Join us each month as we pull back the curtain to find out what really goes into making high school sports in Georgia so successful. From head coaches to concession stand operators, I want to find out how the magic is made. Today's topic is high school football officiating and video review. Y'all know this is not an easy job. I'm excited to bring on James Arnold, the GHSA's training coordinator for officials and co-designer of the new video review protocols for the GHSA state championship games. He's also been an officiant for 38 years, so he's seen and heard it all, you guys. James, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm really, really interested in hearing all of your fun stories today and high school games from the official perspective. So you no longer officiate. You used to do college and high school. Now you're more in the training aspect of things. So tell me what you do now and why you actually quit officiating.
Well, being taking the role as the training person for the all of Georgia high school football officials, it includes putting on camps in the summer. It includes putting together the mechanics manual that we use for all our mechanics and officiating. And mechanics for officiating basically is what you're looking at, when you're looking at it, where you're supposed to be at. What you're just enough to basically it tells you how to officiate the game, where you should be standing, what you should be looking at, what your keys are in certain situations. All those things. Plus some of the other stuff outside that I have a football officials association that I sign for. So during football season, I'm pretty busy.
We all know tempers flare when it comes to football at any level in the state. How do you handle hostile situations with coaches or other personnel? Or how do you train these officials to basically be yelled at?
Well, you have to have a certain temperament. And when I started officiating, I was with a crew, a guy named Big Earl Wilkerson, who's passed, and he had this certain temperament. He took it all in. He'd let the coach, he always let the coach have, let him have his say. If it's a bang bang play, it may not go his way. He may not think it's right. We think it's right or whatever. You go over there, you let your coach have his say. As long as he doesn't step over that line, you just kind of move on. Usually, when you have that temperament where you can take certain things, and coaches, you know, there's that line there you can't cross it. You learn working with veteran officials how to handle these situations, and it's a process. But Earl taught me early on, hey, let him have a say, let him keep going, you know, move to the next play, keep the game going. And usually after most, you know, 99% of the time when a coach has his say, he continues coaching, we move on.
Yeah, do you brush situations like that off? Do you ever think about it later? You know, being a fan and, like, watching a game on TV, it's like, oh, man, that is brutal. Like, are you thinking about any of that later? And do you meet with the officials after a game to talk about good or bad calls?
Well, as part of with my association and with our playoff officials now, they're evaluated on their game. Mm-hmm. So, like my local association, we evaluate crews during the season, and then we get in the playoffs. The crews who are nominated to move forward, who want to be in the quarterfinals, final, semifinals, and finals, they're all evaluated with the scoring system. So, yes, all the people who want to get to the promised land, which is the final, they're all graded. They're all evaluated. All calls are talked about. When I first started, it's so crazy back in 86, 87, is, you know, tough calls weren't talked about. They're like, oh, we don't want to talk about that. But now we want to talk about everything because we want to learn if we missed something, where we're out of place, where a mechanic's not right. Was it a rules thing that we didn't realize? Everything is discussed. Everything is out in the open. It's not. A great football official wants to get better and better. He wants to look at. He looks at his film. Like years ago when we started in the 80s, there was no video. Now, I mean, most of my guys get their video by the time they get home from their game. They have their video waiting on them to go ahead and review, and they review the individuals, and during the week before the next game, they're reviewing as a crew. And that's how, I mean, that's how officiating has been elevated in this state in the last 20, 30 years.
Wow. So by the time you get home, you have your own video review of your performance officiating. That's incredible. With that, if, let's say, an official did make a really bad call, you know, and...
Never,
right? Never. Okay, let's hypothetically say an official made a really bad call. Hypotheticals or missed something. What's that discussion like, hypothetically?
Well, okay. Yeah, and yes, stuff is missed. And anytime, usually if a coach is upset about something, he'll call me or send me the video and all of this. And the first thing I have is kind of funny, but I learned this from an old coordinator from college. He told all his coaches, you know, whatever happens in a game, don't call me for 24 hours. Because that first 24 hours, you're still hyped up from the game. You're still, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, give it 24 hours, then call me. Nothing's going to happen over the weekend anyway. You know, call me Sunday afternoon or whatever it is. So I have the same rule with my coaches. If they, you know, if they call me yelling or whatever, I don't answer until the next day. Everybody needs to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes things are missed, and you know, you look at the video. You as an evaluator, I'll look and say, well, was the person in the right position? Let's see the play. Was he in the right position? Was he looking at the right thing? Was that his key? Who missed this? Or if it was missed, or you know, I'll explain. If coach sends me a video and asks me about a call, I'll be happy to explain how we blew this. This is why the person wasn't in the right position. The person just didn't key on the right person at that time. He wasn't looking at where he should have been looking. Or I'll be honest with you, most of the time we are correct. Mm. Hey, here's the rule. Here's where he was looking. Here's what I see it out. And that's what most people want. You know, they want an explanation, right or wrong, what happened, and then you move on. So, you know, if something was egregious, yes, as a leader in an association, I would, you know, it's been a long time, but we fine people from, you know, just egregious things are suspended. But that's very rare. I think I've had to do that one time. All the years I've been doing it.
Interesting. It's just like anyone else is a professional in their line of work. You know all the rules. Not all the viewers know all the rules. So that is very interesting perspective there.
This is a second job. It really is. I mean, these guys put in a lot of time. Like last night with my committee for the mechanics manual, we were talking about mechanics changes for the manual this year. And my local association, the crews will start meeting in crews Zoom calls in April. And they'll have rules tests, they'll have mechanics tests, and they'll meet two or three times a month on a Zoom call.
Wow.
Up until probably July, then they'll attend a camp and then they'll have scrimmages. So this is something these guys put a lot of time into. If they're assigned to a crew or if they're assigned to a study group, either one, they'll put a lot of time in studying the rules, studying mechanics, discussing it with their peers, going over tests. All this happens during the off-season. And then, you know, and they're also trying to stay in shape. And, you know, sometimes the older you get, the harder it is. But that's part of it. I mean, these guys, the one good thing I say about football officiating, I've officiated baseball, basketball, football, and soccer. Football, by far, is the most fun sport to officiate.
Probably the most tiring.
it is. for you. It's just like football is, you know, they talk about players, you practice all the time just to play in that one game or 10 games a year or 12 games a year, whatever it is. Football officiating is the same way.
Yeah.
They study for months. They get themselves ready for those, for that. We have a 12-week season. And they're probably going to work 11 of the 12 weeks. You work all year for 11 weeks, and then if you're lucky enough and it's likely to playoffs, that's a bonus.
Kind of sounds like my schedule. just joking. Paint the picture for me. If it's two really talented teams in a make-or-break situation, what's your biggest piece of advice that you tell officials when it comes down to tight calls and stressful situations?
When you have two really good teams, it's usually easy to officiate. Is you stay out of the way and let the kids determine the outcome of the game. Let the kids and coaches determine the outcome of the game. You call the safety fouls. You call the big fouls. My grandmother, who passed away 20 years ago, would know that it was a hold or whatever. And you let the kids determine the outcome of the game. That's what you do.
That is great advice. So from officiating or as an onlooker in training, what is one of the most memorable moments or craziest calls you've ever been a part of?
I guess that my most memorable moment is back in the old Northwest Georgia group when I was in. We worked our first state championship game. Went down to Lincoln County. It was a long way. They had been in for a long time, and they've never had a state championship game. And we got to work it. That was probably a memory. My first state championship game with Etowah Valley after we formed it was a great bunch of guys. And another thing about football officiating, when you work a state championship game with a group of guys, they're all you'll never forget them. You never will.
Wow. It's like a brotherhood. Have you ever run across an official with any home bias or had to have an official recuse themselves because of a alma mater type of situation?
You're referring to a situation like with the basketball official last week? I've
Maybe.
Had to take people off games. Yes. I've had to take people off games. Not, you know, probably the same week when I found out they had a deaf son playing in a game or they had a, had some connection. Yeah. And that happens. I don't have the NCAA's background thing to check to wherever their kids or their stepkids or their, they went to high school or whatever. Yeah. But I've had to take people off games like that. And it happens.
Before we get into replay, what's the biggest difference in college officiating and in high school?
It's a lot. I work D2 and I work D3. I work some in FCS. I never worked in the Power Five. So I really can't speak to older. The biggest difference is you go out, usually in high school, you're working with the same guys every week. You're meeting somewhere, going to the game, you're working the game, you maybe come to you eat afterwards. Years ago, there used to be a restaurant in Rome that, when we were in old Northwest Georgia, that would stay open for every crew that worked in that area. You know, at 11 o'clock at night, there'd be, you know, 50 guys in the striped uniforms sitting there eating dinner together. And in college, my last year in college, I think I worked with every different person you could think of and every crew that I worked. I think I worked 10 games my last year, and I probably didn't work with the same people more than twice. That's the big difference. And plus, you know, flying to Chicago for $200 to work a D3 game is a lot different than making $125 working a high school game. So
yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah, that's a lot of effort to be flown up there for a couple $100. So people don't realize that either when they're watching a game from an outside perspective. Like, this is your job, and sometimes you guys are just doing the best you can. Okay, now let's get into replay. So after the 2022 state championships, where there was some pretty bad calls, we don't have to get into it all because we've covered it so much on previous podcasts. Video review was implemented for the 2023 state championships. How do you think it went? How would you rate the guys and how it all went? And what was your role in it?
Well, I'll ask you a question. How did you think it went?
I think it went very well. We were discussing it on the tailgate party shows and the halftime shows, and I thought it went really well. There wasn't any situations like there were in 2022, and I thought most of the video reviews went the official's way. So overall, I would give it an A+.
Cool. My role in this is I got a call from Dr. Hines and said, can we put this together? So me being as stupid as I am, I said, yeah, we can do that. So myself and David Reynolds, I think you know David Reynolds.
I do.
We figured out what we were going to do, how we're going to do it, copied and pasted some stuff, put some stuff together. And one thing was talking about this, we didn't want to go in it half-hearted. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And for what we did, I thought I'm not patting myself on the shoulder, but what me and David did is we put all this stuff together because we started with nothing. You got to have a manual. You got to have, what are you going to cover? How are you going to cover it? How are we going to do this? Working with the GHSA television partners on how they're going to give us the feed to do this. And then finding the people to do it. We had two crews who worked all the games. So they worked it. They didn't work back-to-back games. So they worked one game and then take a game off. So each day, so we had three games. We had two games one day and three games the other 2 days. So it was 1-1, 2-1, 2-1. So they all worked an equal amount.
Mm-hmm.
The guys we had doing this, they were not only college football officials, I also had one coach who was a real good rules expert. And these guys worked hard. We had several meetings during the off season, Zoom call, talking about certain situations, how we're going to handle it. It was a lot to put together, to pull off, because when you're starting something from scratch, just like when we started Flag from scratch, and you're putting together a playbook, basically, on how you're going to do everything and what you're going to cover and how you're going to cover it and the procedures for the people on the field. Because we had two in the booth, and then we had one on the field. So there was six guys plus two alternates working to make sure that we communicated with the crews, and then getting the buy-in from the crews. I thought we did really well with that. The GHSA partners, television partners, did a great job working with us. I can't thank, the guys that worked the state championship games, they did a great job. Also, the kickoff games with IJ's group, his production, all y'all's production people did a great job working with us to make sure that we could get the views and the feeds that we needed. It made it a lot easier for us. We made a couple of mistakes. We stopped a play we shouldn't have stopped one time on changes, a penalty that went in with an untimed down and forced him into the next quarter. We made a mistake there. And we made one mistake on a touchdown play. No, it wasn't a touchdown play. It was an out-of-bounds play we made a mistake on. But nothing that affected the game. I thought we got everything that we needed to get. We probably did a lot more plays than you think in the background,
mm-hmm.
Kept the game flowing, make sure everything was correct. And that was what we're there for. That was what Robin wanted and what George High School wanted. Is they wanted to make sure the game was won by the kids on the field and the coaches coaching the game. And that's what happened.
I asked Dave Reynolds the same thing. And of course, you guys know all the nitty gritty and the behind the scenes. So being really nitpicky, he graded the overall replay effort a B. But I really, really thought, and from hearing and talking to everybody else, that it went really great for the first year. So kudos, kudos to you guys on that.
I was probably more worried about that than I have been about officiating in a long time. I really was. It was a lot.
The pressure and everybody watching, especially after 2022, I'm sure that that wasn't easy to go through either.
No. It built up from the one from a few years back on the touchdown play in Calhoun. That play, they say he blew it, whatever. That play wasn't fair to that guy. Yeah. We only had six-man crew, and he had to, I timed it, and we looked at it. He had 1.2 seconds to determine whether it was a fumble or a touchdown. Wow. And he was running at full speed, trying to keep up with his player. It wasn't fair. So I'm glad we are doing something. That guy got a lot of hate that he shouldn't have got.
Yeah, just a little over a second.
And when that happens, getting some people, you really want to do this? You want to come out to officiate and get this? The guy never officiated again after that.
Wow. That's hard. People don't understand that. A little over a second to make a huge decision with no video replay.
Yeah, 1.2 seconds.
Wow. I hate that he never officiated again. Well, on that same topic, there is a shortage in officials because of situations like that, I'm sure. What would your message be, and how can we get more people involved in this?
My message would be for football officiating is there's nothing, if you love the game, you love to be around it, you want to be around people who love the game, you need to officiate. I mean, I have gotten, I don't know how many opportunities in my life that I never thought I'd get. So, I can't say enough about it.
How can people apply? Where's the information that we can get out there to everybody?
If you go to the Georgia High School website, there's plenty of links.
Okay.
GHSA.net, become an official. Or the National Federation's website to become official. I think that's NHSF.org. They both do. And what's funny is, if you go there and fill the form out, I get the form.
So you're the guy.
I'm not the guy. I get the form from somebody else, and I have a couple of guys who are retired that contact everybody. So.
Okay, for anybody listening, this is your future boss right here.
I think we contacted 1,000 people, over 1,000 people last year.
Wow. That's a lot of names to go through.
Well, these two guys are retired. They don't have anything to do, so that's why I hope they're not with us. I got plenty of jobs. You need to help me out here.
Yeah. Speaking of not having enough to do, your plate is full. So officiating is just a side gig. You are a beer brewer. We've got to talk about that for a minute. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sitting in one of our Zoom rooms here at Anheuser-Busch in Carsville.
Very cool. How are you involved in that? I said, how else are you involved in the beer making process?
Well, I work as a brewer, have for 32 years, so it's a good gig.
Well, our audience is for all ages, but just had to ask. I do like a adult beverage every once in a while myself.
Well, if you see me, if you're going to be somewhere at the stadium, let me know. I'm going to help you out.
Yes.
We're always looking for people to drink our product.
Amazing. Consider it done. I've got your number now. My producer, Jeremy Powell, would like to ask you one last question.
Yeah, I just have a three-part question, actually.
So it's not one question.
Yeah, I know. It's one question in three parts. But as a player, as a coach, and as a fan, what can each of those people do to make the official's life better?
Oh, good question.
I know, I've been sitting here the whole time thinking about it.
You know, people say like, the booing or whatever. It's not the booing. It's like it's the get personal part of it. You want to boo. You paid your money. You can boo, stomp your feet or whatever, rattle something. It's the personal parts. It's the personal attacks is the worst. There's no call for that. I mean, when it comes, if you think somebody did something incorrect, then find out the local association and send an email to the local association. I mean, I get fans sending me crap all the time. And usually when I send something back saying, what game are you talking about? What happened? I never get anything back. But, you know.
Because they're probably wrong.
Yeah. And it's people, you know, it's just society today. People are so angry. I mean, there's a lot of stress out there. And when they go out there, they, you know, just want to say it's an easy hit. I think that's what it is. I think it's just an easy outlet to do that. And again, people pay their money. They can boo. They can say, you know, they can come up to that line. But, you know, when you get personal and tell people certain things or certain, you know the line I'm talking about, then that's where it has to stop. And that's where the – and Georgia High School, the game administrator for every game has to step in and take care of that. And like I said, I've done four different sports. And each one of them all have their good, all have their bad. You know, and it's, you know, I think it's just human nature.
And one more thing, since I'm from Rome, what's the name of the restaurant that was open late for all the officials?
Really? You're from Rome?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was Supremus.
Oh, okay.
You know
hey, yeah.
Have you been there?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago in the 80s when I started, you know, all the games around Calhoun and all the games in Floyd County, we've worked all those games. And then the guy who owned the Primos, you remember the little short dude, the small guy who used to run the cashier? And then some of the older waitresses, they would all wait on us and, you know, we'd all tip them real good. So they'd stay on Friday night for us.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic. Well, James, we've kept you over time. Thank you so much for being here and pulling back the curtain on all things officiating. I think this is so important. So thank you again.
Well, hopefully I didn't embarrass myself.
You did not. You did not. You were great, I promise. Everybody, we'll be back with another episode of Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights and our regular football podcast with John Nelson and I in just a couple weeks. Don't forget, you can watch the video version of all of our podcasts on our GPP Sports YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.